Greetings, this is George Clark for Ivy Hoops Online. Columbia women's coach Megan Griffith is meeting with the press on Thursday afternoon in New York City. We're going to try to listen in and bring you as much of this most interesting press encounter as we can.
Well, Marin, the moment of truth.
You get one today and I get one tomorrow. This is what we do every call, guys.
If you want to kick off the festivities,
I'm happy.
Yes.
All right. I was looking back at my game notes, Megan, or my like boards, and this is like game like 40 something that I've covered for you. Far less than a lot of people on this call. I do understand that. But like in that vein, I was like, who on earth can we talk about? Where are we going? Lance is going to ask all the statistical questions. So like, where am I going with this? So kind of generally, but also specifically for tomorrow, where do you see your advantage?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that for us, you know, our ability to score all over the court is a big advantage, right? I think our guard play, our forward play, you know, the ability to put points on the board and play a very versatile, threatening style is our strength. And I think that's, as long as we stick to that and we realize, you know, it's everybody's got to be a threat on the floor, I think that's our significant advantage, especially against the team who prides themselves on their defense, right, and their defensive effort. I think they're very good when they can hone in on one or two things. And as long as we continue to make sure that we're executing our game plan, I think we provide a really challenging matchup for them.
So then on the flip side, what do you see as the biggest challenge for Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think a big thing, ball security, is like making sure, you know, like we don't allow bad shots and turnovers to be as present, you know, in this game. You know, I think in the Harvard game, we had actually a lot of turnovers, but they were all like 14 of them were dead ball turnovers. So I'm like, you know, that was something we talked about at length. And like a lot of that's like, I don't know. I mean, they called a million moving screens on us. And I'm like, yeah, were some of those moving? Yeah, I mean, it was a weird game, in my opinion. But I'm like, that at least doesn't allow the team to get out and go, right? A live ball turnover is catastrophic. That's the same thing as a bad shot. So us understanding what a great shot is, what the shots that we want to get in this game are, I think we have a very specific plan of attack that we're trying to execute, is going to be really pivotal for us to, again, start our defensive effort and then be solid in that. You know, this is a really great rebounding team. You know, they've got two elite offensive rebounders on the team. You know, I think Ellie Mitchell is absolutely the key to what they do. So, you know, that's somebody that you just got to keep in check and make sure you're aware of where she is in the court at all times.
How is Columbia different, better or worse, how is Columbia different from the January 20th matchup?
Oh man, we just watched that game. It was like, I was cringing watching it. Now this is what I said to
watch
our team.
It then.
you shouldn't. Yeah, we just watched it as a team actually. Yeah, you know, it's funny watching that game back. We've taken so many strides. I mean, that was Susie Raffi's like arguably first, was her first conference start, but she hadn't started since the beginning of the year. She's a different player than she was then. Perry Page is a different player than she was then. CC Collins is a different player than she was then. You know, I think we lacked a lot of maturity in that game, and not the entire game. I think they lacked maturity, and like I think if you talk to Carla, she would say the same thing, especially in the first half. You know, we got them into foul trouble early in that game, and then I felt like we didn't take advantage of that as much in the second half. We weren't playing and looking for the shots that helped us get the lead in the first half, right? And then helping from the wrong spots. I think our rotations were off. We were in weird lineups with four guards. You know, we play five guards, but I think you know what I mean, like small guard lineups. So I would just say like we're so different then. And I bet they would say the same thing. Like that's what you hope for any good
team. You hope so, exactly.
You're growing. So I would say much better offensively, defensively. I think we've taken leaps and bounds since that game.
I'll share the court or the mic or the platform.
Well, thank you, Mari. Megan, to piggyback off of your point about rebounding, because they had 16 second chance points in that first matchup, since Marin says I'm fascinated with statistics, I figured, unfortunately, I'd throw that in. But in all seriousness, what do you have to do against Princeton? Is it a matter of being physical? You talked about boxing out Ellie Mitchell, but do you have to have a mentality that is maybe different than the other Ivy opponents that you've gone up against this season?
Well, definitely. I mean, I don't think anybody else in our league has a dominant inside presence. And not that Ellie and Chitana are not scorers, right? They are rebounders and defenders. So it's a very different, you know, you look at Dartmouth, who plays through their big, Claire Meyer. She is an offensive threat. She is not a defensive threat, right? And she's not nearly as physical. And I mean, Ellie's just tough. She's really tough. You know, she has a great nose for the ball. She's constantly moving. She moves like a guard, right? Same with Chitana. Like, they're arguably like small forwards, right? And you know, they're senior bodies. Like, that's the other thing I always say. I'm like, you know, a senior, like, it's like you look at Abby versus any other guard in our league and you're like, yeah, she looks like pro, right? Like, they just look different than the young kids in our league. So I would say, you know, it's just a different mindset, because you're not as worried about those two on the offensive end of the ball in terms of creating offense. I mean, they can finish plays, absolutely. They're not their creators. They create through their guards, right? So you just have to be aware of that and make sure that as you're moving and helping and doing different things off of them, you're not getting stuck in bad rebounding positions. So it's not just about boxing out. It's about just positioning, in my opinion, right? And making sure that not just those kids marking those kids are rebounding.
They had 76 of their 80 points come from their starting five in the first matchup. And I'm not saying that Princeton doesn't have depth, but how much do you look at this game as a matter of, can we get them to have to turn to the bench and have somebody else not in the starting five set up, and how you go about maybe accomplishing that?
Well, we did that in the first half. You know, both Ellie and you know, Chen were on the bench to start, you know, to end that half. And that's when we went on a big run. You know, we went up four to end the half, and you know, Caitlin got into foul trouble. She had four fouls in our game. Ellie, I don't know if she had another foul after that. Maybe one. I think she got to three. So we tried to put pressure on them. Now, where they ended up scoring more points, which they usually don't, is in their two bigs, right? And we were just, our help was really undisciplined. Our one-on-one wasn't great. Our gap defense wasn't great. So, you know, yes, I think you do want to try to get those kids in foul trouble, try to make them play through their bench. But, like, every time we played them, it's been top six against top six. That's just how this game goes. So, you know, like, I don't see kids fouling out of this game. You know what I mean? Like, maybe at the end, in the final hour, because they're battling for rebound, whatever. But, like, this is just your best players playing against your best players.
We've talked so much about home court advantage this season, how well the team has played. Is this the next litmus test, Megan, in your mind, given the fact that the Ivy League tournament is here and Princeton is the team that, let's face it, is standing in your way, that how you perform Saturday can give an indication to you as well as the rest of the team of what may lie ahead here?
Definitely. I think it's a litmus test for everybody, you know, Princeton included. Like, they, you know, they have to come into our environment and play here and get ready to play more games here, right? Like, that's just, I think for both of us, this is going to be a great indicator of, like, the next steps that both of our programs need to take. You know, and it is still one game, right? You know, like, now, do you get up for this game? Absolutely. Like, you don't have a pulse if you're not excited to play this game, right? It's sold out. It's been sold out since Monday. You know, and so it's going to be a great basketball environment. You know, now one that we're both really looking forward to, but you know, it is just another game, and that's how we're treating it. It's just another game in our schedule, the next person that's standing in our way.
You brought up Susie Raffew, and when we spoke to you earlier in the season, you mentioned that she showed you enough in practice to warrant earning an opportunity in the starting lineup. And it seems like, Megan, she's taken full advantage of that. She had a career game against Harvard. What has stood out to you the most in terms of what she's taken advantage of in these last five or six games that you've inserted her in the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, I think her response to failure and mistakes has improved dramatically. You know, and I would just give her a lot of credit for, like, that's a hard thing to acknowledge as a young person. Like, I don't know any player that I've coached that's handled failure well, right? Like, it's just part of the process is, you know, having to be like, okay, like, move on to the next thing. In basketball, the game happens so quick that you can't really linger in those moments. And I think that's something she's paid a lot of attention to is, like, hey, it's not going to be perfect, but as long as I'm prepared and I'm doing the work, I have to trust that. And I think she's really starting to trust the work that she's doing, which is showing up in games, but in practices more importantly. Like that's my big thing I always try to harp on with our team is you fall back on your training, you know, moments of adversity and being uncomfortable. You don't just show up and play. You don't rise to the occasion. That's a bunch of horseshit. You know, like you literally have to trust the work you're doing every day. And she's been putting in a lot of work. So, you know, she's earned that starting spot, and I'm proud of her, you know, for taking that next step in her young career.
From a big picture perspective, Megan, when somebody like Susie gets the starting job after working hard in practice, how encouraging is that for you as a coach in terms of the message it sends to the younger players that you just brought in to show that, hey, there's room throughout the season that you may start out with limited playing time, but it could develop over the course of the year?
Yeah, it's so important. You know, I always say to our team, and I know a lot of coaches feel this way, as coaches, we coach to win games. Like that's our job, right? So like we're only making decisions that we think help us win games. And of course we care about each player and their growth process here. Like that's a non-negotiable, but every year at this point in the season, I've made a change in the starting lineup and started a younger player. So like, that's just like something we do is like, I'm like, hey, like trust your process, run your own race. Don't look over your shoulder. Don't care about what that kid's doing. Like do what you're doing and you will get rewarded for it. You know, that happened with Kitty Henderson a couple years ago. Right. You know, you think about that for Carly Rivera. Everybody was like, wow, what are you doing, Meg? You know? And I'm like, no, this is what we got to do to get over the hump. Right. So, you know, I think it's just part of what we do. I always tell players, like, I don't recruit you for what we have. I recruit you for what we need.
Appreciate it as always, Megan. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Yep. Thanks, Lance.
All right. Thanks, Lance. Thanks, Marin. We're going to work our way around the room. I'll just call on you for the people that are new. And if you are new, just introduce yourself before you start asking questions. But we'll start with somebody who's not new, Jen Hatfield.
Hey, everybody. Meg, my voice does not sound like a monster anymore. So
good.
Thanks for bearing with me today. Yeah, getting there. You know, going back to last weekend, how challenging was it to, you know, first you celebrate Abby and all she accomplishes, then you have an idle Saturday, which is kind of weird, and then you have to get up for Harvard. And by the way, you're on the road that whole time. Like, what was, can you kind of take us behind the scenes of that weekend and how you kind of prepared your team for, like, not the usual schedule, extra celebration, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like, it's funny, like these road trips are, you love them, but they're also like, it's like 4 days is a long time. You're like, okay, you know? So we tried to get out of Dartmouth really quick. Obviously that was an exciting moment for Abby and for Columbia women's basketball and just the program in general. You know, celebrate that in the locker room, but then it's like, all right, hey, on to the next thing. Let's get to Harvard. Everybody, let's make sure we start thinking about Harvard and what that game plan is. We got to sleep in. We got some rest. You know, there was like a major dance competition at our hotel. So that was interesting when we got there. There was like hundreds of little kids from like literally 5 to 16 dancing like all day, hip hop competition. So we're like, all right, here we go. You know, you get to the hotel. This is the stuff you can't make up, you know? So we get there and, you know, you really just try to like hone in on being recovered and try to spend that day game planning, but also making it about us. So get to Harvard, you know, make sure we're getting shots up. We're going through coverages, and then transition into, you know, somewhat of an earlier game the night before, but making sure that our players get plenty of rest. I mean, that's the big thing on these trips is like, you don't want to do too much, right? So you keep it light, you keep the energy good, but it's mainly like, do we feel prepared, right? And do we feel rested? So, you know, I know over the weekend, both teams had kids battling sickness, which that's always tough when you're on the road as well, like out of your comfort zone. So Sunday's game, was interesting, I thought, you know, especially starting off with Kitty getting into two fouls in 2 minutes, you know, and Abby not feeling well, Lola wasn't feeling well. Like, you know, it was a game of a little low energy, I thought, for both of us to start. But we picked it up and, you know, was happy with CC to go get her 1,000th that night. But then, like, you know, after that, it's like, let's celebrate. Let's get on the road. Like, let's get home. Let's make sure we get well rested this week. Big weekend ahead of us. And it's nice to be home for a single game this weekend.
How do you feel?